Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. We are now in Masechet Nazir, Daf Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the top of the Amud, discussing the issue of Rakav, which is this corpse mold that the Mishnah mentioned that the shiur of it is Malot Tarvad. And at the end of the previous podcast, we discussed what Malot Tarvad is, what kind of hands full. So now the Braita will explain which kind of a corpse would we be concerned that the stuff congealed around it would be considered rakav and mitameh. Mechnik bar arum ba'aron shel shayish. First of all, it has to be someone who was buried naked, and second of all, in a marble coffin, or gabei ritzpa shel avanim, or on a stone floor. Zeu mech shayish lo rakav. We'll see why these are the stipulations. Now, nikbar b'chsuto, if he was buried in his clothes, or ba'aron shel eitz, or in a wood coffin, or gaber yitzpa shel avinim, or on a brick floor, zeh omeid she'ein lo rakav. Why? Because we have to assume that at least some, or maybe all of this stuff, this junk, came also from the material around him. And we'll see how that plays out further. Amar ula, ein rakav ela haba min habasar min hagimidim min atzamot. He says it also has to come from flesh, bone, and sinew. All of them have to be present to make it considered rakav. So Etave Rava Leula, so Rava challenged this and said, we have a ruling, Rakava Bamina Basar Tahor. And he said that if it's a mold that comes only from the flesh, it's Tahor. What's the implication? Hamina Etzem Tameh. So obviously if it comes just from the bone, then it's Tameh. V'afagav Deleika Basar, even without flesh. And you said you need all three. So Ula answered back, no, Ey Mahachi, read that ruling as follows, Rakava Bamina Basar Tahor. In other words, when you're talking about rakav that comes from flesh, it's tahor unless there's also a bone there. But that doesn't say anything about a bone alone. Ha leka gridim, but even that doesn't help you, Ula, because you said there has to also be gidim. So ef shalom basar latzamot below gidim. So the answer that Ula gives is that if we're going to expect flesh with bone, somewhere there's going to be some sinews in there also, and therefore all three of them are there. All right, that's piece one. Rav Shmuel bar Amar Amar Rav Yochanan. Remember, this is a ruling of Rav Yochanan. Shnei meitim shekvaran zayim zeh. If two corpses were buried together, and then there's gunk around them, this corpse pool, nasu gal galin zeh lazeh. Literally, they become supports for each other, which means that what we now have is a combination, a mixture of corpse mold from both of them together, and that's tahor. Because a rakav that's tameh has to be from one particular mate and not with a combination of anything, not from his clothing, and not from the bricks, and not from another mate. So meiti Rav Natan challenged as follows, rakav abba mishnei meitim, if you have corpse mold that comes from two bodies, tameh, it is tameh. So that's not true. So Rava says as follows, shekavru zeh b'fnei atzmo, v'zeh b'fnei atzmo, if you bury them separately, and v'rkivu v'yamdu amalot tarvad rakav, and they separately decomposed, and then the stuff came together and became a shear, then it's metameh. In other words, the idea is that each one is buried separately and excreted its own mold, which it had a din of uniquely associated with one mate, and for the shear they combine, then it's tameh. But if they're buried together and they decompose together, then not. Another ruling of Rabbi Yochanan. Gazaz sa'ro ukvaro imo. Let's say that they cut the hair of the mate and buried the hair with him. Nasalo gagalin. Then that also becomes a support, as it were, so that the mold that's there is partially from the hair, and therefore it's all tahor. Tzranatam, we have a Mishnah in Ohalot. Kol sheba mate tamei. Everything about a dead body is tamei. Chutz min hashinayim v'asear v'atziporin. Except for teeth, hair, and nails. Uvishar chiburan kulan tmeim. And when they're connected to the body, they're all tameh. So that's the ruling, which sits well with the Rabbi Yochanan statement, and now we're going to analyze this. Boy Chizkia. Saroha omed ligalech. Tziporan omed ligoz. My. What if it's hair that was about to be cut, or nails that were about to be cut, and they weren't? What's the ruling? Because in several areas of halacha, we have the principle, kol ha'omed ligoz ke gazuz dami. Anything that's going to be cut, we consider it already cut and separated from the body. Odil mahashtamiyahu ha'mechubarin. But, or if, in matter of fact, right now, this hair is still in the body, and so therefore it won't be separate, won't be galgalin, and therefore the corpse mold will become tamei. So, v'nif shot le midirava barbachana. So why don't we infer our answer from what Rabbi Bar Chana, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, said, which is that if you cut the hair and bury it, then it's galgalin. Obviously, if you didn't cut the hair, then it's not galgalin. So if you didn't cut it off, then it's not separate, and it's not galgalin. So hachikamar, that's not true, because Rabbi Rachanan, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, said, gazaz harei is a galgalim. If you cut it off, it's galgalim. Lo gazaz mi ba'ile. And the question Chizkiah was asking was, what if you don't cut it off? So that's what he's asking. Bar Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah now asks a question. Rakava bamin ha'ekev. Now, there's a mikmah showing him how to understand, and some just raised their hands and said, we don't get it. Like the reed said, it's just impossible to understand. But some Rishonim understood that this is specifically referring to the heel, because the heel is a very dry spot on the body, and therefore it's not likely that the rakav came actually from the heel itself. So what if it does come from that? It's near the where the heel is. The Meiri, on the other hand, maintained that the akev here is just an example of a non-critical part of the body, and so that would not just be the akev, it would be a hand, etc. Mahu. So what's the status with that? Miki gamrina rakava ba mikule mate. Do we have the tradition of rakav only when it comes from the entire body? Aval da'ati min akev lo. In other words, the whole din of rakav perhaps is only from the entire body, but not from the akev. Odilma lo shna, perhaps any part of the body that excretes this stuff, it has the same result of tuma. Toshma, let's see. Tana Rav Natan Rav Shaya, rakava ba mishne meitim tameh. What we had Rav Natan earlier say was, which is that if you have two meitim and they have rakav that's combined from them, it's tameh. Now, if you think that rakav comes, and we'll read like the Meiri, from a non-essential part of the body, a non-vital part of the body, is not tameh. So zil hacha duma derech ekev kati, v'hacha duma derech ekev kati. Maybe the stuff that came from this mate or that came from that mate came from a non-essential part, and therefore it should be tahor. So that should prove that rakav that comes from any part of the body is tameh. So the answer is no. Eid the irkev kule mate. You're right. If the entire body decomposed v'kaati derech ekev, and this stuff was found near the foot, so achinami. You're right. Here's what happened. One limb of the body decomposed, and it came, and the rakav was found near the akev. Might. And that's the question is whether that sort of, rakav is considered tameh, and the answer is teku, no solution. Bar Rabbi Yirmiyah asked another question about this. Ubar bimei isha, an embryo inside the mother. Have a galgalim olo. Is that considered a separate being, so that if the mother dies, that we've got essentially two meitim here, and that there is, therefore the rakav is not metameh. So, kevan damamar ubar yarachimo, since we have the halacha that an ubar is considered like the thigh of its mother, it's part of the same goof. Hilkach gufahu v'lo have a galgalim, it's all part of one body. Odilma kevan da sofa latzeit, since eventually it would come out if she had lived, then mifresh parish mina, maybe internally it's also separate, and therefore has a separate physiological system, and therefore maybe is considered a separate body for rakav. If you want to argue that second position, which is that since it was destined to come out, it's already should be considered a separate body. So shichvat zera b'meisha. What if the opposite? Let's say the woman has shichvat zera inside of her. Mahu. Since it didn't fertilize anything, it's like her body, anything else that came into her body. But perhaps since it's a foreign source, it's not really part of her body, and it's galgalim. So in that line with that, Rav Papa asked the following question. Pirsha mahu, what about her perish? Meaning, when somebody dies, they still have undigested food in them. Since she has to eat to live, so therefore this is part of her sustenance. Chayutahu, it's part of her. Odilma hanami malmaati. So you can say the same argument. It's a foreign object that came from the outside. And by the way, as you see, we settle none of these. Barav achab redavika. So he asked, oro mahu, what about a person's skin? What about the mucus and phlegm and other things like that? Should they be counted as rakav? And by the way, that would mean that, as we see, so it's a series of questions. He said, if you're going to say that none of these things are part of rakav and they're all galgalin, which means if they're mixed with real rakav, it's nothing. How could you possibly have rakav that really works? Because you'll always have a person has skin, a person has phlegm, a person has liquids in in them. So a person ate food, etc. So you're never going to have rakav that's tameh, which means the entire notion is out. So they come up with a very, very unique kind of ukimta. To ashke meid kalim, if they gave the mate just before he died, this kind of meid kalim, kind of special water, that evidently really flushes the system, like a diuretic. Vesachya nasha, and they put on some depilatory, they get rid of all the hair. Vesholkub mei tveria, and then they boiled this guy, as it were, in the chamei tveria, so that his skin fell off. So you have somebody here, it's an impossible kind of picture. And basically they're saying that Rakav can't work if we would end up saying that all those things are Galgalim. Now, Amar Abaye. Abaye said the following. Naktinan mecha tchano en lo Rakav. If there was a corpse that was ground up, then there's no Rakav anymore. So Abaye lehu, tchano v'chazar v'yarkiv. What happens if after that he then decomposed mahu? Midi hu tama ela de'ika basar v'gedim v'atzamot v'ika. Isn't Rakav just a combination of flesh, bone, and sinews that get decomposed? And they have that here. Odilma kibriyato ma'inan. Perhaps Rakav only works when it comes from a body that's still in its original state, Veleka. And again, Teku. Tani Ula Bar Chanina, Meitche Chaser. That's what we're going to deal with from here to the end of today's piece, in different forms. If you have a body that's missing any part, in lo Rakav, doesn't have a din of Rakav. Velo Tfusa, Tfusa means that if you have to reinter him, you have to take a certain amount of the dirt around him, underneath his body, and pick him up. But if he's chaser at all, you just pick him up as is. V'lo shchunat kvarot. Shchunat kvarot, which we're going to say a little bit later on, is if you find a body, you have to check if there's other bodies in its vicinity, and there's a shear of a distance of width, and if there is a body within that distance, and you find three of them in a row, then you consider this is a shchunat kvarot. It was intentionally buried there. You can't move them. If one of those meitim is missing any part of them, then we don't consider it. We assume that it's somebody who died, just had an accident, was buried there on the spot, or ended up just being buried alive, as it were, buried naturally, as it were. And therefore, it's not an intentional placement. So now, meitive, we have a challenge to that that goes back to our Mishnah. If you recall, in our Mishnah, we said, Eiver min ha-meit is metame, and Eiver min ha-chai that has meat on it. So loy amarta mechi ishlo ro verova omolotavad rakav. We said you can't compare the two, and that's why chai has this extra dimension, has to have flesh on it, evmin achai. Because mate has a chumra, which is rov binyan and rov minyan and rov atzamot, and molotavad rakav. That halach only applies to a mate. Tom rachai sheinlo lo rov, lo rov, lo molotavad rakav. You can't say that about a chai that has none of those halachot. So now, Hechidami, what is the Mishnah referring, what is the Braita referring to that is distinguishing between a mate and a chai? The Irkiv Chadever, if we're talking about where one limb decomposed, so you're going to say, if one limb decomposed, that's considered Rakav. So Miktani HaMate, but don't make that inference. We didn't say that, the Braita doesn't say that a chai doesn't have those things, and therefore every mate does have those things. Shum mate yesh rakav, shum chai in the rakav. All they're trying to say is that it's a mate can have rakav, no chai has rakav. That's all the distinction they're trying to say. They're not trying to say that in the exact case that we're picking of a chai, the parallel one in a mate would have rakav. So now, by Rava, hirkiv kshu chai. Let's say he was alive and part of the body started decomposing. V'chazaru meit, and then he died. Mahu. Kigmir rakav di irkiv shumet. Perhaps the entire rule of rakav is only after he died. Odil mahashtami ha-mayit. Or perhaps we've got rakav and we've got a dead body. So toshma aloim amartav meit sheishla rov rov and lo tavad rakav. We go back to the bright that we just saw. Tomer b'chai. So tam mishum d'chai. So the only reason that works is because alive. Ha meit yesh lo rakav. So every dead body has rakav, meaning even if the rakav started earlier. So miktani ha meit. Who said you make an inference like that? Akamashlan shum meit yesh lo rakav, shum chai in the rakav. All I was trying to say is that some dead have rakav, no living one has rakav. That's all. Boy Rava. So nimala shechasira. And now this comes to a whole different area of halacha, and that's machalot asurot. Normally, you're only liable for eating something which is prohibited if you eat kashir. But a small creature, the shear is the size of the creature, even though it's way less than a kazayit, and there because it has a din of bria. So the malach shechaser, it's like an ant that's missing one little leg or something. Mahu. Shi'ur gemirin la? Perhaps there's a shear, and the shear that is there for the ant is exactly that size. V'achaser, so it's missing one little antler, one little leg. It's less than a shear. Obria gemirin la va'ika. Or perhaps it's the opposite, that we are looking for a bria, and this is a bria. The fact it's missing a leg doesn't make it not a full ant. It's a living, breathing ant. But it's a living ant. Let's see if we can solve it. Toshma, so he quotes two sequential psukim in the Parsha of Shratzim at the end of Parsha Shmini. If you're metame with them, bimotam. And the very next pasuk reads, so it's bahem and mehem. So how do we rectify that? Bahem means in any of them, and mehem means only some of them. I might think that you need the entire thing. You only need part of it. I might think you need only a small bit of the sheretz to be metame. So you've got a tension. How do you solve the tension? Then you have to touch a part of a sheretz which is as big as a full one. What's that? And they picked the size of a lentil. Why? The smallest of the eight rodents that are mentioned there, when it's first created, it's the size of a lentil. So therefore they said, if you touch a lentil size worth of a dead sheretz, you're already tamei. So Shmami, now what does that tell you about these small animals? Shiur gemirila, that what the halacha is not a bria, but rather the shear for this thing is the size of that animal. So therefore, if the ant is missing a leg, it's less than a shear. So Rav Shmaya defeats it and says, ki ba'in and shear, when do we need a shear? That if it's less than an adasha, it's not matame. That's only if it's not alive. It's a piece of bone. But if it's alive, lo tibayilach, then you don't need the shear, and therefore our ant, which is missing a leg, nonetheless, is a living ant, and therefore the shiur becomes irrelevant. Okay, we will stop at this point and pick it up at further analysis of the Mishnah with the analysis of the line of the Shidra and the Gulgolet, and over the course of the next two podcasts, we'll make our way to the next Mishnah, Andaf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful day.